Thank you for joining us for this podcast episode of Talking with Religious Historians. This is a short form episode of our regular Ecclesiastical History Society podcast, wherein we talk to established religious historians to find out more about their careers and what advice they would give early career researchers. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Betts, a historian of early modern British medicine and religion. Welcome to this episode of the Ecclesiastical History Society's podcast, Talking with Religious Historians. Today, we're delighted to welcome our president, Professor Katie Cubitt. Professor Cubitt is Professor Emerita of Medieval History at the University of East Anglia. Her research focuses on the religious culture of early medieval Europe, particularly on the history of the Anglo-Saxon Church and the history of church councils. She has published on bishops and clergy, saints' cults, and papal and Anglo-Saxon church councils, and has a particular interest in the history of the early medieval papacy and of the Mediterranean world in the 7th century. She's currently finishing a monograph on penance in Anglo-Saxon England entitled Sin and Society in 10th and 11th Century. Thank you for joining us today, Professor Cubitt.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you on. To start our episode, would you mind speaking a bit about your academic background and how you came to academia?
Yes, I always find this rather embarrassing because as long as I can remember, I've wanted to be a historian. And when I was really young child, primary school sort of age, I think I wanted to be an archaeologist because that was a visible form of history. That was something I could see you could do. And so I think I was very inspired by popular history programs about medieval history on TV. And that was a big thing. I think I've always been drawn to, I think I'm very much a historian, but I think I've always been drawn to working with different disciplines. So when I chose my first degree, I was very torn between doing history and literature. And I ended up by reading Anglo-Saxon, Norse and Celtic at Cambridge, which was a wonderful mix of history, language, and literature. And that's where my interest in early church history really kind of took off.
That's great. That's fascinating. I actually had a similar path in terms of I knew I wanted to be a historian, but didn't know how to approach it. But I had seen Indiana Jones.
Oh, yes.
And that started the love affair with it. And then I found out it was even cooler. So as I mentioned in our introduction, you are the current president of the EHS. And I was wondering if you can tell our listeners how you came to that position and what it entails to be the president of an academic society.
So, I was really honored to be approached to be president, because the EHS and its publications have always been really key in my field and significant in my life. My second publication was in Studies in Church History, and the EHS is such a major force, so interesting, I think, and so interesting for what I think is really interesting is getting that spread across periods and geographical regions around a theme. And that's one of the great joys of being a president, is that you get to set the theme of the two conferences, the summer conference and the winter conference, which in my case, I try to look at an idea that historians don't much explore, which is how people use accusations of hypocrisy. And that's been wonderfully interesting, seeing so many different approaches. And so the president is primarily, that's the sort of at the forefront of what you do, is set the theme for the conference and help with the organisational conference and select the papers. And of course, the conference proceedings, the conference papers move into the Studies in Church History volumes. So there's a kind of seamless, a pathway through to helping with the editing of the Studies in Church History volume that comes out of that conference.
And do you have a hand in choosing which papers will go into the journal?
There's a committee. There's myself, the president and the two editors. And then Studies in Church History is very much, it's a very prestigious journal in the field, I think, and it's very much a peer-reviewed journal. So we invite people to submit their papers, and then we take them out to peer review, and we follow that process through, being guided by the peer reviewers in terms of what needs to be done to a paper and how substantial it is and so on. The other thing that the president does is sort of oversee the running of the society, and we have three committee meetings a year, and we, you know, we review the conference, how successful it's been, particularly the financial aspects of it, and any publicising the society, as you know, through social media, where you do a great job, and on the website, and trying to bring forward other initiatives. For example, recently last year, we collaborated with the Royal Historical Society in financing a fellowship for visiting scholars for the Ukraine. And we were very, very pleased to have an excellent candidate who, in collaboration with the University of Edinburgh, supporting Katharina Buds in her research and her ability to work here in the UK.
That's great. And if, in your experience, do you find that you would recommend PhDs and early career researchers to become part of a Learned Society committee? Is that helpful for job CVs? And if so, what would you suggest makes a good committee member?
It's a wonderful opportunity for a postgraduate to build networks with people in the field through the committee work. There are lots of opportunities for sort of career advancement, so to speak. We usually run an annual postgraduate conference, and usually the running of that is taken by a member of the committee, a postgrad member of the committee. And I think it's probably, it's certainly interesting for me, and I think it's interesting for all of us, just to see how these learned societies, which are really key to the academic discipline in terms of running conferences and publishing volumes, how they work and what the challenges they are, what challenges they face. For example, for some time, open access publication was thought to be a real problem, but CUP have developed different ways of handling that, which have actually mitigated some of the risk factors there. So I think that it's a very rich experience, and we also really value, of course, the input of new young people bringing fresh approaches and their own experience. And their own experience, I think, of being academics in what can be a really challenging environment at the moment.
Absolutely. What, in your experience, makes a good committee member? What should people, when they are first signing up to be on a committee, expect to do?
I guess an obvious point is read the papers. Our excellent secretary, Jacqueline Rose, circulates the agenda and the papers. So there's always a bit of work to do in terms of seeing what the issues are and what the minutes are from the previous meeting and so on. And I think, you know, helping with their experience in terms of, for example, if we're talking about the costings of running the July conference, how that plays out if you're a graduate student, how easy it is to get funding from grant-giving bodies and so on. So I think that's something that we really value. Bringing fresh ideas, for example, might be for conference themes or so on to the committee.
Great. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't say, as of now, in June 2023, we're going to have three positions open soon on the EHS committee. So if you're listening to this now and you're interested, please follow up on our website. I'll include a link down in the description of this episode, because we would love to have more people join us. So, Professor Cubitt, the last thing that I like to ask people who come on the show is, what is their favorite part about being academic? So do you have a specific thing that stands out to you that you really love?
I think the thing that one really loves is the communication aspect of it. And that cuts through everything, really, doesn't it? It cuts through the teaching, trying to get students, often, I'm especially because I'm a medieval historian, sometimes students are less attracted to that as they are to modern history. And just thinking about the ways in, that something will catch a student's imagination. And then I think the whole thing that all our conferences do is talking to people about their approaches and their ideas and what exciting new research they're doing and communicating about one's own research. You know, I think in a way that's the thing we love, to talk about what we're doing and learn from other people. And I think that goes through too as well, you know, when the satisfaction of a final publication, when you've drafted and redrafted an article or a book, you've got feedback on it, you've refined it, that sense of creativity, but also that sense of satisfaction that you've completed something and maybe you've communicated what you wanted to say well. So I think that's something that sort of goes through all the aspects of what one does as an academic.
I definitely appreciate that. It's such a skill to be able to communicate all of the things you learn about in a way that's exciting and interesting for people who maybe aren't that excited about history or thought they weren't that excited about history. And then they end up finding out it's pretty cool. Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful chat. A quick tour through how to get involved in committees. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with us, Professor Cubitt.
Thank you, Emily. It's been a great pleasure.
It's been wonderful having you on. And I will also remind the listeners that we have our upcoming annual conference in July, and that's going to be in Warwick, July 18th through 20th. So hopefully we will see some of you listeners there.